This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
There's a report that the White House is reviewing military plans concerning Iran, as the New York Times says Acting Defense Chief Patrick Shanahan presented an updated military plan to the Trump administration a few days ago. It reportedly includes sending upwards of 120,000 troops to the Middle East if Iran was to attack American forces, interests, or increases its work on nuclear weapons.
I'm Steve Bullock, and I'm running for president.
Yet another Democrat has entered the field for the White House in 2020.
With your help, we will take our democracy back.
That's Montana Governor Steve Bullock, who becomes the 22nd Democratic candidate. He won re-election as governor in 2016 when President Trump carried Montana by 20 points. The 53-year-old Bullock was Montana's attorney general before that. And this is USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year. A month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot, too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs, too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
Attorney General William Barr has assigned Connecticut U.S. Attorney John Durham to lead a probe into the origins of the Russia investigation, examining how that investigation's initial intelligence was gathered. The Justice Department's Inspector General is also conducting a similar probe. Former U.S. Congressman Anthony Weiner out of a Bronx halfway house after the Democrat was found guilty of sexting with a 15-year-old girl. Weiner has been ordered to register as a level one sex offender and set upon his release this morning.
I hope to be able to live a life of integrity and service, and I'm glad this chapter of my life is behind me.
The former manager for the late comic book legend Stan Lee has been charged with elder abuse after Lee's family accused him of seizing control of Lee's Hollywood Hills home and hiring security guards he ordered to keep relatives and associates away. And find us online anytime or at usaradio.com.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need.
Won't you stop your crying? I know that you're trying. Everything's gonna be okay.
Alexa, play Maren Morris.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Won't you stop your crying? I know that you're trying. Everything's gonna be
okay. Get unlimited access to over 50 million songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Concerns about the measles outbreak are increasing as the disease is still spreading. The CDC says the number hit 839, involving 23 states. 75 new cases have been reported in a week. The highly contagious, potentially deadly illness was declared eliminated in the year 2000. Now New York has more than 270 cases, the highest number among those 23 affected states. And federal health officials are still calling on parents to get their kids vaccinated. Former President Jimmy Carter recovering from surgery after he fell at his home in Plains, Georgia. And a statement from the Carter Center says the 94-year-old former president broke his hip while heading out to go turkey hunting. The statement says the surgery was successful, but Carter remains at a hospital in Americus, Georgia. His wife, Rosalind, is by his side. Actress Felicity Huffman is scheduled to be sentenced in September for her role in the college admission scandal. Prosecutors are pushing for the Desperate Housewives star to serve at least 4 months behind bars and to pay a $20,000 fine. Huffman admitted to paying $15,000 so her daughter could get more time to take the SAT and to have her wrong answers corrected. Huffman is one of more than a dozen other high-profile figures who paid large amounts of money to help their kids get into prestigious colleges. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start Program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Bill Martinez live.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, and we've got a little known espionage story of how spies assembled by the British helped establish Israel. You know, back in the days, you know, we could still talk about spying and not upset anybody's sensitivity. Of course, here in the world of political correctness, 21st century, spying, you know, all of a sudden it's become a pejorative. And, you know, all this stuff is kind of driving me crazy. But this is what we love about history, especially when it's documented so well. And our next guest, Monty Friedman, is with us. He is the recipient of Nathan Book Award at the Jewish Book Council. Spies of No Country chronicles the exploits of a ragtag unit of Arabic-speaking Jewish spies assembled by the British during World War II who would go undercover in the battle for Israeli statehood. Monty, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, great to have you here to talk about this story. Okay, so how did this story come to you?
I'm a journalist in Israel, and kind of always interested in stories that are on the margins of people's attention, things that have been overlooked. And I was working on a completely different story when someone offered to introduce me to a really old spy. And I've learned over years as a journalist that if someone offers to introduce you to a really old spy, you should go.
That's
even
right.
If you don't know why you're going, you're not going to be wasting your time. So I made this trip to meet a guy who's almost 90 living in a suburb of Tel Aviv, and he told me an incredible story about how he had seen the birth of the State of Israel in 1948, and it was a story that I'd never heard before, and his stories led me to other stories of people who'd served with him. It led me to files in the military archive in Israel, which were still classified 70 years after the events, and I got many of them declassified, and all of that went into the mix that eventually became this book, Spies of No Country, which came out about a month and a half ago.
So here it is. You're talking to this 90-year-old. He's laying down this history for you. And is part of you saying, I hope this is true?
Yes, exactly. As a journalist, I'm always skeptical initially, and I've heard all kinds of stuff, and not all of it has really panned out in terms of
right.
You know, the solidity of the information. And I'm sure as, you know, someone in the business, you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
But I managed to cross-check almost everything he told me because many of the other spies who'd been involved in this very small, amateurish, ad hoc intelligence unit called the Arab Section, many of these guys had left behind long oral testimonies. One of them had written a book, and we had a lot of first-hand material from the files, the reports that they were filing in 1947, 1948, the radio log of message traffic between headquarters in Israel and the first intelligence station that Israel operates, which is in Beirut. And everything that I could cross-check showed that this almost 90-year-old guy, Isaac Shoshan, had a memory like a steel blade.
Unbelievable. Well, you know, the thing is, it's so cool, especially when you're, you know, privileged to meet with somebody who has lived this much of life in a general context. Forget about the historic application, but just in a general context. For me, see, I'm always interested in things like that because they've learned something about life along their 90-year journey that you go, hey, I'm going to go see if I can go find a golden nugget or something, you know. But in this particular case, for you, here you are pulling back a bit of the onion skin on, you know, an incredible part of history. Being Jewish, I mean, this is the rebirth of a nation that was prophesied, that people said this would never happen.
And of course, here he is at the ground floor level. And as you stated, this is a ragtag group. It was very unsophisticated. What was the what were they doing? You know, they were just kind of, hey, seems like an idea. Let's just throw this together and see what happens.
Well, kind of. It was definitely thrown together and thrown into this incredibly dangerous moment without much training, without much by way of equipment at the beginning. They're sent out to spy, but they don't own a camera.
Uh-huh.
When they need to take pictures of stuff, they have to borrow a camera from this guy, a civilian who has a Minox camera, which he lends them, and they're sent off to Lebanon without a radio, without any way to communicate with headquarters. So it's definitely a kind of seat-of-the-pants operation. The idea initially when the British set up this unit is to spy against the Germans who are advancing through the Middle East in 1941, mm-hmm. and that's the initial purpose of the unit. And then the German advance is blunted, Rommel gets turned back at El Alamein, famously, and the course of the war changes, and then this unit becomes part of the Jewish military underground that's preparing for statehood. And when the War of Independence, when Israel's War of Independence breaks out at the very end of 1947, this very small group of guys, about a dozen guys, gets thrown right into the war, and the events are so dangerous that of these dozen or so agents who are active, about half of them are caught and executed, and the others survive and go on to found the Mossad and Israel's kind of storied intelligence services.
Well, amazing. So interesting how some might say, you know, from a biblical standpoint here, Monty, that you've got history repeating itself. Because we remember when Israel was first coming into the Promised Land, it was 12 spies that went out to spy the land. And fast forward now, 20th century, 1947, and we've got 12 spies going out to, you know, take a look and see what's going on here in this land that would be the foundation for the rebirth of Israel.
That's right, and it's an incredible coincidence, that number, but of course we have to remember that the original 12 spies bring back the wrong information.
Except for two guys.
That's right.
Yes.
The majority of the spies try to convince Moses and the leadership of the Jewish people to back off. They say it's not worth it. We'll never beat these people. Let's go somewhere else. And they're remembered as kind of for being weak-willed.
Right.
And my spies believed in the cause, and they put their lives on the line for the cause, and they knew that the Jewish people needed a state, that this was a matter of life and death, and they set out against very steep odds to found that state in 1948.
So here they are, they're sent out with the purpose to reestablish Israel. Was that the purpose after World War II?
Yes, that's what the Zionist movement was out to accomplish. The British, who've been ruling a territory that they call British Mandate Palestine, the British are about to pull out. Their empire is kind of falling apart, and they're pulling out of India, and they're pulling out of Palestine, and it's clear that the British are leaving. And in the vacuum that they leave behind, a war breaks out between Jews and Arabs, and the Zionist movement is intent on creating a Jewish state that can absorb the Jewish refugees from Europe, the survivors of the Holocaust, and can also eventually take in about 1 million Jews who are native to the Islamic world who get forced out of those countries and also end up in Israel. And the odds look pretty grim at the very beginning of the war, and the British are pretty sure that the Arab side is going to win, and then things don't turn out as planned, and the Jews manage to pull it off somehow.
Well, that's what happens when you kick against God's foreign policy plan for Israel. You know, I'm curious, the title of the book, Monty, Spies of No Country.
Right, so these guys are sent off in the very beginning of 1948, before the state of Israel exists. So they are inserted into Beirut, which is the capital of Lebanon, in April 1948, and they don't have a country. They remember themselves as Israeli spies, and people reading this book might be thinking about the Mossad and all of the stories that they've heard about Israeli intelligence, but none of it exists.
This is all pre-Mossad. This is pre-Mossad.
There is no Mossad.
Yes, exactly.
There's no country. No one has ever used the word Israeli.
Mm-hmm.
When they're sent off to Lebanon, they don't have a radio, and they have no idea in May 1948 that the state has been created, because they have no way to communicate with home, and all they have are Arabic newspapers that are claiming that the Arab armies have eradicated or are on their way to eradicating this Jewish enclave in Palestine. They think the Jews might have lost, and they have no way of knowing that the state has actually been established on May 14th, 1948. 1948, exactly 71 years ago today by the Jewish calendar. So they're spies of no country. They're guys who are just kind of alone in the storm of events. If you're spying for the United States, you know that somewhere out there you have the CIA, you know, right. You have Langley, you have America. Someone mm-hmm. knows you're out there. They might come look for you if you disappear. These guys have none of that. If they disappeared, they would have just been gone. No one would have come looking, and no one would have even known.
This is most incredible, and we're going to pick up the story when we come back right after the break. Stay with us. We're talking with Monty Friedman after this.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING.com.
Standing up for what's right. Helping out when things go wrong. Raising our voices alone or together. Seeking the truth and speaking our minds. Not just making records, but breaking them. Fighting for victory on the battlefield and on the playing field. Seeing the world through new eyes. And the earth from miles above. Redefining beauty, brains, and what it really means to be queen. Making ourselves heard on stage and on screen. Showing the way in Silicon Valley. And showing up for others wherever help is needed most. Not just making our mark, but making a difference. Now that's a job for a Girl Scout. Girl Scouts, preparing girls for a lifetime of leadership.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
It's about time someone had the courage to say it. Bill Martinez, live.
Back with you, America, just the way you like. It's fresh and independent, coming to you Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Our conversation with journalist and author Monty Friedman continues. We're talking about his new book, Spies of No Country, that introduces us. He said originally there were 12 spies, six were executed, six remaining, but four in particular young men that are caught up in the events surrounding the birth of Israel in 1948. Monty, I mean, just hearing you talk and relate this story, it's just so incredible and so engaging. But you say, you know, in the book, you're focusing on these four young men. Why these four young men?
Really, the story was supposed to focus just on that one spy who I met, that almost 90-year-old, now 94-year-old spy, very much alive and kicking and still very sharp. And then I realized that there were other characters in the story who were too good to ignore, and other characters, even though they'd been dead for years by the time I started looking into the story, they kind of started elbowing their way into the narrative. So I ended up with four. I couldn't turn them down. They were begging to be part of this story. So you have one spy who is more serious, a kind of more of a scholar and intellectual, though none of them had been to university, and only one of them had ever finished high school. So one of them was kind of an intellectual, and one of them was kind of a tough guy, kind of an alley kid, a street fighter, and one of them was just a very quiet guy who was really good at watching. So each character brings something else to the story, and I felt that those four together created a compelling narrative that that readers would care about. They'd care about these guys as the story progresses from beginning to end.
Kind of interesting because of their personalities and their worldview they bring to the perspective, you know, kind of a broader scope of what they were involved in. I mean, here it is. They're recruited into this small amateur outfit, as you referred to it, called the Arab Section. That was quite creative, huh?
That's right. That's what they call them, because these guys were supposed to pass using Arab identities on the other side of the line. And what's interesting about them is that those Arab identities were genuine. They weren't faking it. These were Jewish kids from Arab cities, from Aleppo, from Damascus. One of them came from Yemen. They were native to the Arab world. And people think about the state of Israel in very European terms, so people know about Theodor Herzl and the Holocaust and the kibbutz idea, socialist idea. But few people know, I think, that half of the Jewish population of Israel actually originates in the Islamic world. In the 1940s, there were a million Jews who are native to the Islamic world. The city of Baghdad, for example, was one-third Jewish in the 1940s. Right. People don't know that, and that population is almost completely displaced, and most of it ends up in Israel. So these spies are members of that side of the Israeli population that's native to the Middle East, and that's the tool that they bring to Israeli intelligence. They're capable of walking across the line, assuming a different identity, and passing, not just for a couple hours or a couple of days, but for years.
Exactly. Well, as you mentioned in the first segment, this is all before the Mossad. These gentlemen, these four young men in particular that you focus on, are in a sense spying out the land. They're without a country, and they basically, in a figurative sense, plant the flag for the rebirth of Israel. And as you said, there was, you know, this was a party of four people, and they're declaring a new nation. But it takes a while for, you know, the international community to catch on to what, in effect, they've been able to accomplish.
Yeah, I think there are big swaths of the world that still haven't come to terms with it.
Right.
But it's still, you know, an incredible success story. And I've lived in Israel for almost 25 years. I went there when I was 17 to spend a year, and then kind of got stuck. And it's just an incredible little place. It's a really compelling, very complicated, much more heterogeneous place, I think, than people understand. But when you consider what these guys were working with in 1946, 1947, there was no country, no camera, no radio. These guys didn't make salaries. Sometimes they couldn't afford lunch. And when you see what the country has become in 2019, with all of its many flaws, I think it's undeniably one of the great stories of the last 100 years.
Well, no question, Monty. I can tell you, having had the opportunity to visit Israel myself a couple of years ago, I was in awe, you know, just to see the development. I mean, here was, you know, barren land that was all but abandoned. Most of the Arabs in the area just kind of took it for granted and kicked the dust aside. And it took the Israelis coming in come up with the innovations that they've been able to come up with. And, certainly the divine favor of God, upon their discoveries and innovation. I mean, it is phenomenal what they've been able to accomplish in a few decades by comparison, don't you think?
Absolutely. And as someone who lives in the country, on a day-to-day basis, I often get, like everyone, I get carried away with, traffic problems, sewage, political corruption, and, all the usual human nonsense that we all
have. We have that here in America, too, Marty.
So I've heard. I couldn't possibly comment, but that's what I've heard. And you can forget how miraculous the whole thing is and how unlikely the whole thing is and how lucky I am to have this country to live in 2019 when my grandfather and his grandfather had no such thing. So I try to remind myself of the big picture when I get, when I open the newspaper and, get frustrated at the daily problems of what is, after all, just another country on planet Earth full of human beings.
Well, not to mention, you happen to have a big target of crosshairs about the country, and you guys have been dodging missiles for how long now? And we just went through another episode. I say we, you're there, going through it, and thank God for the Golden Dome that helped. But, there were a couple of missiles that landed this last time around. And of course, we continue to lift up Israel. And, we are in awe, here in America, those of us who follow and are connected spiritually to Israel. And we pray for Israel. We thank God that he continues to protect and uphold, his promise and the land that he has dedicated and sanctified for Israel.
I know Israelis appreciate very much the support of people abroad, and I'll convey your good wishes to folks when I get home.
Well, absolutely. And so as this story continues, the spies of no country, secret lies at the birth of Israel, what do you want the reader to take away from this?
One is that this is a good spy yarn. So even if you're not particularly interested in the history of Israel, and even if you're not that interested in the multi-layered nature of Israeli society and the kind of complicated ethnic fabric of the place, I hope you'll enjoy this story. These are spies. They have double identities. Some of them have triple identities, and they carry out, some pretty exciting acts of subterfuge and sabotage and an assassination. And this is the beginning of the Mossad. This is the way it was born. It's the very modest roots of something that became quite big and important. So I hope it works on that level. If you like spy stories, I hope you like the book. And on a deeper level, if you're seeking an understanding of what the state of Israel is in 2019, I hope that I'll be able to teach a reader about the half of the Israeli population that is native to the Islamic world, that came from Aleppo, came from Syria, didn't come from Europe, is native to the Middle East, native to our part of the world, and what happened to their homes in the Arab world and what they brought with them to Israel and how they've shaped this society, this modern country that we have in 2019. So I hope the book works on both of those levels.
Mm-hmm. Well, Marty, I know that people are, as they read this book, they're going, wow, what a espionage novel, because it is amazing. But as you say, it's true. I mean, this is better than a novel. This is true, even though it may seem like that. And as you say, here's these four young guys that by the seat of their pants, as unsophisticated as they may have been, compared to other, spying, agencies and components, these guys are figuring it out, just out of their need for survival and their own intellect and in some cases street smarts, as you mentioned.
That's right. Necessity is the mother of invention, and these guys invent it all on the fly. There's no spy school. There's no doctrine. They're making it up as they go along, and that's one of the great things about this story.
They go, and I went to school to be a spy of no country? This is incredible. Matty Friedman has been our guest, a journalist and contributor to the New York Times op-ed section, the author of two previous works of nonfiction. His 2016 book, Pumpkin Flowers, was chosen as a New York Times notable book and is one of Amazon's 10 best books of the year. Matty Friedman, thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks again for having me.
Okay, the book available at all the usual places, and of course we're going to link it on our website at BillMartinezLive.com.
This message is sponsored by AmeriGlide, featuring the nation's best prices on a home stairlift. Are you having a difficult time getting around your home? Do you avoid going up and down the stairs? Have you even considered moving from your lifelong home just to avoid the stairs? Forget about moving and call AmeriGlide and learn how an easy-to-install stairlift is the perfect solution to help you get your freedom back. Plus, we guarantee the nation's best prices. Make this free call today to learn more. No sales visits are necessary. We can help you over the phone. Now you can stay in the home you've been in for decades. Please do yourself or your loved one a favor. Make this simple 2-minute call right now. Get the lowest price on a stairlift anywhere. Here's the number. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. That's 800-296-1434.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
There's a report that the White House is reviewing military plans concerning Iran. As the New York Times says, Acting Defense Chief Patrick Shanahan presented an updated military plan to the Trump administration a few days ago. It reportedly includes sending upwards of 120,000 troops to the Middle East if Iran was to attack American forces, interests, or increases its work on nuclear weapons.
I'm Steve Bullock, and I'm running for president.
Yet another Democrat has entered the field for the White House in 2020.
With your help, we will take our democracy back.
That's Montana Governor Steve Bullock, who becomes the 22nd Democratic candidate. He won re-election as governor in 2016 when President Trump carried Montana by 20 points. The 53-year-old Bullock was Montana's attorney general before that. And this is USA Radio News.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities, or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Get a $100 travel reward credit with a full synthetic oil change through October 31st, 2019. Terms apply. Visit Pennzoil.com/travel on.
I'm not going very far.
It's too uncomfortable.
I'm in a hurry. Sometimes I just forget.
There's no such thing as a good excuse for not buckling up. You're not only putting yourself at risk of injury or death, it could also cost you lots of money. Cops are writing tickets, so why take the risk? Do the smart thing and start buckling up every trip, day or night. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
1, 2, 3. Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez on the show. You can go to BillMartinezLive.com. We're going to be talking with the author of The Founding Myth, Why Christian Nationalism is Un-American by Andrew Seidel. Andrew, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thanks for having me on, Bill. I appreciate it.
Hey, looking forward to this discussion here about your new book, The Founding Myth, that answers questions of whether our nation was founded on Judeo-Christian principles once and for all. Why is this such a challenge? I mean, we've accepted that it was for so long, but suddenly that's disputable.
I think it's always been disputable, and I don't think it's quite as long as you realize. You know, this was Christian nationalism, the idea that we're founded on Judeo-Christian principles, is actually a pretty new idea. And it is something that we've seen all of a sudden go from the fringes to the political mainstream with the election of Donald Trump. You know, before that, this idea was sort of an impotent sideshow. But in 2016, Donald Trump tapped into Christian nationalist rhetoric and the ideas of Christian nationalism and all of a sudden won the highest office in the land. And so now we've seen it sort of ramped into overdrive, and it's really starting to infect our public policy as well.
Mm-hmm. Is this part and parcel, as you say, this political environment that we're in? It seems rather tribalistic. I mean, we've become so obviously disparate. And, and we're all going for our own individual desires as opposed to, you know, what the American ideal and dream is all about.
I think that's right, and I think part of the religion is tribal, politics is tribal, and what you see with Christian nationalism is sort of the marriage between the two of them, which is something that the founders of this nation really wanted to avoid. And one of the reasons they wanted to avoid that was because really religion is a divisive force. It's only a unifying force for those who agree with it. I mean, otherwise, if you're not a member of that religion, you're part of the out-group, and it really does divide us. And that was one of the reasons they chose to keep state and church separate in the first place, was to avoid that kind of divisiveness in a government that depends on compromise to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, I think, you know, even the most recent surveys I've seen still indicate that about 80-85% of America believes in God. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're religious. I think there's some parsing of, you know, what that idea of being religious is all about. But nonetheless, I think most people, I think the majority of Americans still maintain, you know, some belief in God. What impact does that have on Christian nationalism?
Well, and the simple belief in God is not anywhere near the same thing as Christian nationalism. Christian nationalism really is the idea that we were founded as a Christian nation and that we need to return to those foundations. Mm-hmm. And that's what I try to investigate in the book was, I think most people can probably understand the idea, well, we're not founded as a Christian nation. I think most people, except for maybe an extreme fringe on the other side, agree that that's not the case. But then there's this fallback argument, well, we're founded on Judeo-Christian principles, which, as you mentioned at the beginning, is pretty widely accepted. Mm-hmm. And that's the claim that I wanted to investigate in the book. And what I found was, no, it's not. You know, and Judeo-Christian principles are actually thoroughly opposed to the principles on which the United States was built. The two systems differ and conflict to such a degree that, to put it bluntly, Christianity is un-American. And that's the kind of thing that I investigate in this book. And it really was a fascinating, interesting one to write.
Well, I bet. I mean, as you're unwrapping this, so let's focus on a couple of the major conflict points. Break it down for us.
So, I mean, one thing that we often hear is, well, the Ten Commandments. Our nation is clearly founded on the Ten Commandments. But let's just look at the first commandment. It says, I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me. Mm-hmm. And that runs fundamentally opposed to the idea of religious freedom. In America, you can have no gods, you can have 100 gods, you can pick any particular god that you want. Mm-hmm. Whereas if we were looking at Judeo-Christianity, you have to have this one particular god.
Right.
So this is a fundamental conflict. The systems completely disagree with each other. And to me, you can't say fairly that that kind of conflict somehow influenced the United States founding. If anything, it was an idea of how we should not build a country.
Mm-hmm. Based on where we know that our founding fathers and the original pilgrims came from, when they were so oppressed by these, you know, these countries they lived in, where religion was the central, you know, viewpoint. I mean, politics and religion was hand in glove, was it not?
It was, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that I look at in the book, I do look at the founding of a few of the colonies, specifically looking at the Pilgrims and the Puritans, because we often hear, look, people fled to this nation to find religious liberty, which is kind of true, but not really accurate. You know, first of all, the Puritans and Pilgrims fled about 150 years before the Constitution was ever an idea. So not really the same generation as the founders. But they also fled England, where they were being persecuted, to go to Leiden, the Netherlands, where they were actually had this great religious liberty. It was one of the freest countries in the world at the time. The problem was then they couldn't keep their followers in line because they couldn't use the government to enforce their religious law. So they fled from the Netherlands to come to the New World, where they could actually establish these theocracies. And then when the founders were writing the Constitution, they looked back and said, those theocracies that we saw in Massachusetts 150 years ago, we don't want to do anything like that. They were examples of what not to do.
Right. What else did you find?
Well, one of the things that we often hear is, you know, our nation was built on In God We Trust, or One Nation Under God. And we kind of hear these slogans trotted out as though they're parts of the founding of this nation. information, and none of them are. They're all from well after the founding. And in many cases, they actually show a hostility to the unifying principles that the founders were trying to employ. You know, "In God We Trust" is this sort of exclusionary motto, which if you don't trust in God, then you're not a part of this nation. Mm-hmm. And it was replacing the de facto motto of "E Pluribus Unum," which is this beautiful unifying sentiment from many people, one nation. Mm-hmm. And really, that's at its center, that's what Christian nationalism is a fight about. It's seeking to change at its core what it means to be an American. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I try to argue in this book, The Founding Myth, is that patriotism has no religion. And that, this is just a fight we cannot afford to lose.
Mm-hmm. You say that Donald Trump is president. You write about this, or about the perception that people have that he's president because of Christian nationalism. Explain.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you looked at the number one factor for who was a Trump voter in the 2016 election, it wasn't political party and it wasn't religion. It was whether or not the person believed that the United States was founded as a Christian nation. And that just shows you how Christian nationalism is this conservative marriage between, this marriage between conservative politics and conservative religion. And the lies underlying this identity are driving our public policy now. Education, immigration, civil rights, women's rights, minority rights, our foreign policy. We are seeing judges decide cases based on the lies and myths that you and I have been talking about. And put simply, these lies are destroying our country. They're gnawing away at our liberty. And I think that we, the people, have a duty to stand up to the lies and to the bullies pushing them.
Mm-hmm. Well, our founding fathers said that the U.S. Constitution was established for a people of moral value. And if we don't get our morality from, you know, our faith and our religion, where does it come from?
And, you know, that's a fantastic question, and I actually think it was probably the hardest argument to tease out. Mm-hmm. But I do have a couple chapters in The Founding Myth on this idea of morality. And, I mean, at its most basic level, morality does not come from religion. It's actually the other way around. Morality comes from us, from human beings. And in the book, there are plenty of quotes where I explain that the founders actually believed that religion and morality were two separate things. Mm-hmm. And Thomas Jefferson actually organized his library even around this idea.
Well, Andrew, I appreciate the time. You and I could have, you know, I would love to have more time with you because this is absolutely fascinating. I appreciate and congratulations on The Founding Myth, Why Christian Nationalism is Un-American. Andrew Seidel, constitutional attorney and author, has been our guest. Andrew, have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-596-2154. 800-596-2154. 800-596-2154. That's 800-596-2154.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks, so it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Bill Martinez live.
We're back with the America 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Our old friend Bob Walsh. I had to go all the way to the Big Island of Hawaii to chase him down. Bob thought he was going to retire and be in the beautiful island of Hawaii with his daughter. And but for God, huh? God has other plans for you, Robert.
I love being in the God plan, not the Bob plan.
Amen.
And if they align, that's all the better. Yes, but when they don't, I'll definitely move his direction, I hope.
Well, it's good to be talking with Bob Walaszewski. It's been a while. We've missed him for so many years. We talked every week.
Yeah.
He was focused on the family's director of media and culture and plugged in. And, of course, Adam Holtz has been filling in for you since, Bob. He's been doing an outstanding job. So you definitely have trained the right people, and they were able to come in behind you. But since then, I mean, you still continue to do a little bit of work with, Focus and doing some movie reviews. But what I want to, share with our audience and bring them up to date, because, they've missed you as well, is, people think, it's not like you went to Hawaii and put your heels on the desk and you're just out there, in a canoe or on a surfboard or anything like that. Is that you're in the God plan here, right?
I have such a burden and such an overwhelming, I don't know if I use desire, if you will, deep down inside me, a God desire that the body of Christ honors the Lord Jesus with their entertainment choices.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, as a general rule, now I'm generalizing, Bill, but of the 1 billion-ish people on the planet today that say they have Jesus as their personal Savior, I don't think it's a high percentage of those that think much about their media choices and how it lines up with what God might think. They make their decisions like the world makes. What does the world say? The world says, hey, Avengers Endgame is the most popular film in the nation, and then they run and go get it. Or they say, oh, wow, so-and-so's in the movie, and I love that actor, I love that actress. Or, wow, the special effects, they spent millions. I've got to go see those 40 car crashes in the first couple minutes, And I'm not saying those things aren't worth considering or that they're not even unimportant. But I just say that when it comes to making decisions, whether it's movies, whether it's music, whether it's video games, whether it's television shows, there's just higher principles to make decisions based on. And so I still have a burden to share that. Mm-hmm. I love it when I get an opportunity. I wrote a book on the subject, and those principles in the book are still motivating me to do what I can to share it and help get the word out.
Well, those are important boundaries, Bob, that you're alluding to here, because we have to constantly ask ourselves when it comes to the kingdom of God, because that's what Jesus came to present to us, was the kingdom of God. Are we adding or taking away? Are we being casual about it? Whenever you read anything about God in His Word, it is God Almighty. It is so awesome, or as C.S. Lewis would refer to it as ineffable, beyond awesome. That, you know, if you have that understanding and that perception to consider God in those terms, then you realize that we're here to be a force in the culture for good, because otherwise evil will take hold, which it has. I mean, it's taken over these media outlets in so many ways because of the casualness of people of faith that think that it's okay, we'll just go along to get along. But meanwhile, here we are. We find ourselves, because of our casualness, having to deal with some serious topics like, you know, what bathroom to use? What happens when your child comes to you and says, "Hey, look it, I'm thinking about I know I'm genetic. I look at myself, I'm a boy, but I feel like a girl, and I've had these feelings." And the culture is telling the child as if, you know, it's a normal thing to question some of these issues. I would say that it is a challenge, and I know that this might be problematic, because I want to say it's abnormal to think that you want to reconstruct your body and start cutting it up.
In the media world, it follows that. Take a show like HBO's Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
Many Christians have been consumers of that show, or it wouldn't have been so wildly popular. But I have to say that it's softcore pornography. Mm-hmm. And although I'm sure it's well written, and I'm sure there's a storyline that's interesting, the fringe, or maybe the main part of it in many cases, I'd only watch the first episode. I watched the first episode as part of my job as director of Plugged In. I felt I needed to. And I won't even describe the end scene, but it was so nasty and so awful that I forever etched in my mind just how bad this show was. Or 13 Reasons Why, for instance, very popular show on Netflix that, I mean, millions of teenagers have watched, that Netflix stands and says, well, it was a cautionary show to help kids not want to take their lives.
Wow.
But you know what, Bill? One of the things that got me jazzed just recently is I was watching the national news, and lo and behold, they said there's been a new study, National Institute of Health, mm-hmm. that's looked at the number of suicides from the 10 to 17 age group since that show came out. And they found out after the season one was released, there was a 28.9% increase, unexpected, totally off the charts, unexpected increase in suicides based on that show.
They attributed directly to that show, that statistic?
Here's the thing. The study can't absolutely prove or make that correlation with absolute, you know, they wonder, was there some other factor going on in the culture that we're just not aware of? But I say that even though we can't prove it, we've just got to say common sense that show took a 17-year-old girl, Hannah Baker in the show, who committed suicide in the very first episode and left these cassette tapes behind where she blamed everyone else for why she had to kill herself because it's all everyone else's fault. And they glorified it and glamorized it in such a way that it was inevitable to have copycats. I talked to a woman named Patrice Bright from Alabama. Her husband, Joseph, they lost their daughter, Anna, who was, she was 13 or 14, I can't remember which. But she had very sneakily watched all the shows of 13 Reasons Why, even talked to her mom and mentioned, what do you think about, you know, the show a little bit? Gave a little bit of clues that she had been pondering the show.
Right.
And then one day her brother was the first one in the house and found her in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And she was in the tub like the protagonist of the show. Didn't commit suicide exactly in the same way, but you could tell that just that she had modeled it after the show. Mm-hmm. And if it was just that one girl that followed suit and did that, it's awful and it's wrong. But there's a handful of them that we know, including a young man in Peru that jumped off a building that said it was related to the show itself. So it's just those kind of things. The parents have to be extra vigilant
exactly.
to say, what are my kids watching? What am I watching? How am I modeling it? Is this making a positive impact on my kids? Is it making a negative impact? And not just say, I did fine as a kid. They'll do fine. It'll all work out in the wash. No, sometimes it doesn't work out in the wash.
Yeah, sometimes it works out in suicide, and that's what we're hearing more and more about. Bob, why is it? Why is it our kids are under attack right now? We've only got a couple of minutes left here, but you know that's my question: is why? Why is this happening to our children right now? As adults, are we dropping our guard? Are we allowing them to be more vulnerable than ever?
Well, I don't want to over-spiritualize it, but in John 10:10, the words of Jesus says, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And then Jesus goes, but I've come to give you life and life more abundant. But in that first part, what the devil has, and I think we've given him just more wiggle room culturally, more room in our family. We've allowed our kids to watch more. We've allowed them to play more brutal games. Mm-hmm. We've allowed them to have a Netflix password account, and we don't even know what they're watching.
Exactly.
And I just say it's time to realize that the devil does come to steal, kill, and destroy. And as parents, we have to model it. As parents, we have to know what our kids' world is. As parents, we have to set biblical principles to help guide their lives. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart. Not, if you get around to it, you might want to think about guarding your heart. It's kind of a good thing to do every now and then. No, above all else, guard your heart.
Well, Bob, I believe that whether it's the devil or anybody else for that matter, if they say they're coming to kill you, maybe you ought to listen up and do something about it. I'm just saying. Bob, I know your heart is toward the youth, and there might be, I know there's churches or organizations, because of your experience and your heart toward the youth, that would love to have you come and speak. If they want to, how can they connect with you to engage you to come out to their campus, to come out to their church?
Well, Bill, if you don't mind, just make my phone number available to any of those that would go online and send you an email or give the ministry a call. I would love that.
And we're going to link the information on our website, too, at BillMartinezLive.com. Bob Olszewski, aloha from the Big Island of Hawaii. He is with us, and we're looking forward to having Bob again on a semi-regular basis.
Yeah, because
after all, you got it. Take care, buddy. God bless.
Blessings.
Okay, so a watch is good, and some jewelry. Better grab some flowers, too.
Hey, what you doing?
Mother's Day, remember?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm making lists, gotta plan a trip to the store, then need to save all the receipts in case she wants to return.
You know there's an easier way, right?
I'm guessing you do?
Yes, I'm gonna show you the easy, quick way to shop for mom, and save 30% at sunshine-pillows.com.
Ah, pillows. Mm-hmm. Great idea.
Oh, not just pillows. Sunshine-pillows.com has the best selection of custom heated neck wraps and heated neck pillows.
She always says she has stress.
And aches and pains, right? Look, they have hot and cold therapy. Products.
Ooh, it says we can buy any select combo up to $150 and get 30% off.
Yep, just use this promo code MOM30.
You know, for a little brother, you're pretty smart.
Get something for every mom on your list and save 30% when you spend up to $150 on any select combo. Now through Mother's Day only at sunshine-pillows.com. Use promo code MOM30. Sunshine-pillows.com, your complete line of therapeutic pillows and pads.
Maybe not today.